Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us here on the program. We come your way Sundays at 7 a.m. and p.m., Mondays at 1 a.m., streaming live at richarddugan.com, and we archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. We also have a link to our guests. We're going to give you the link to our guest for today shortly, and we want you to go there, check them out, see what they have to offer, see if it resonates with you. And it may sound sometimes like I'm doing an infomercial and I'm just rah, rah, boy, this is great stuff, and with every single guest. And I'm very intrigued by most every single guest I have had on this program, whether they be Scientologists, whether they be atheists, Christians, Muslims, Buddhists, whatever their philosophical bent is, whether it's a psychic, a numerologist, an astrologer, it doesn't matter who they are. Some of the notable folks like Bruce Lipton and Greg Braden and Lynn McTaggart, who we've had on the program many years ago. And as many of you have, if you've been following the program, we're coming up on our 10th anniversary, which I'm very excited about. So, and numbers are a big deal to me, and I love hitting milestones, and which is actually a good lead-in to today's program because, well, numbers are a big deal to me. I love hitting these different milestones. As I was growing up as a kid, you know, I could hardly wait to hit 10 and then 15 and 20 and 30 and 40 and 50. And, well, I'm headed towards 60, which is bizarre. I think about that and I'm going, wow. And I remember when I was a little kid thinking, boy, I was born in the right year because it makes it so easy to figure out how old I am at any given time. But I remember thinking, what a great year it's going to be when I hit 60. It'll be 2020, double 20s or four if you're into that. Well, I know someone who is, and she is my guest here on the program today, and she's going to be talking to us about numbers. You know, there's physics and quantum physics, and there's sacred geometry, and then there's also numerology, and I'm sure all other kinds of sciences that have been drawn into or have been shown to be a part of the metaphysical world. And we're also going to see if we can't find out about how you can become successful. You were born to succeed. Did you know that? And we're also going to help you to find your purpose through numerology with my guest and your guest as well, Nancy Fairbrother. And Nancy, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Oh, Richard, thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
I have to say that when I am heading down the road, whether it's metaphorically or literally, and I see the mile markers going by and they're going up, preferably, I love to see those numbers going up, and then you hit the certain things. And every once in a while, too, you know, and I'm sure people have had these experiences, Nancy, they'll look at a clock, now preferably a digital clock, and they will see certain patterns, and I see them all the time. Every once in a while, I'll look over at a certain time of day, and I've got double or triple ones, triple or quadruple ones, or I have 12-12, or I have 1-2-3-4, or for any other kinds of patterns, or 22-55. I mean, I just happen to glance over, and boom, there they are. And, it's like somebody said to me that there was something to that. When you just happen to see those kinds of things, I'm always looking for patterns and sequences in life in general. I don't know what it means in that regard. It's kind of neat to me. But you're dealing with, is it exclusively from the way I'm trying to understand it, is it exclusively the birth date as far as an individual and kind of like when someone does an astrology chart, whether it's Eastern or Western, and you give them whatever information is required. In Eastern astrology, Vedic astrology, it's the birth date, place, and time. And it has to be accurate, otherwise the chart won't be real accurate. And matter of fact, we've had David Hawthorne on many times who actually says, you know, really can't do it without that third element. You've got to have all three. And they need to, we can't say morning or evening. We've got to have a time range. I don't know about Western astrology. I haven't had that many charts done where maybe all they need is your birth date. How does, or I guess maybe back it up, what numbers are relevant when for example, looking at the title of your book, You Were Born to Succeed, Finding Your Purpose Through Numerology. What numbers are relevant in trying to find my purpose?
Well, that's a tricky question. They're all relevant. Let me say that. And here's the thing. With numerology, what the information that I would need or any other numerologist would need would be your full name at birth and your birth date.
Okay, now you're into letters too. So that must convert in some way. Go ahead.
That it does convert. And there are certain numbers that go with certain letters or certain letters that you use on certain numbers. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and Chaldean numerology, I do Chaldean numerology. That's the most ancient form of numerology I've found. And that is even including Chinese numerology. So, and it came from we don't know where. It just popped up somewhere in the cradle of civilization in what is now Iraq. So, from the ancient Babylonians and Chaldeans. And with Chaldean numerology, you match the numbers to the letters according to the sound, according to sound, not according to where they appear in the alphabet. For instance, in Pythagorean numerology, your numbers coordinate numerically in sequence with the letters of the alphabet. In other words, 1 through 9 is A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You get to the 9th letter, then you start all over again. 1 through 9, 1 through 9, 1 through 9, all through the alphabet. The only limitation about that is in different languages, you have different numbers of letters. And so it isn't a universal, you can't apply it universally to different languages like you can with Chaldean. Mm-hmm. The other thing is with, and Pythagorean uses the number 9 as a value for a letter, which Chaldean does not because they considered 9 a sacred number. And 9 appears when you're doing the calculations, the calculations that go into, it's hard to explain. It's hard for me to explain because it sounds very confusing.
Well,
it's clear to me, but.
Sure. And we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah.
I promise you we will get there.
Anyhow, so with 9, if it's the total of the numbers in your, of the letters in your name, which the numbers are matched up to, then they use the 9, but they don't assign 9 to a letter of the alphabet. That's all I want to say.
I know that there are a lot of other books, and I remember one of the early interviews I did with, for example, Greg Braden. He came out with a book called The God Code. Mm-hmm. And there have been other books when I was working for the Christian radio station back in Phoenix from about 80, I think it was 80 or 81 to 95. Another gentleman whose name escapes me came out with the Bible Code, and they were doing sort of the same kind of thing you're talking about by translating or converting the letters into numbers. The only problem I had with that was the fact that they're dealing with the English translation, which has lost so much, and not the original language that it was written in. That would make more sense. And, of course, there have been people down through the ages. As a matter of fact, I still remember, I think it was 1988 and 89, a gentleman who has since passed away and now knows the truth, who back in September of 88, he said that between, I think, the 15th and 18th of September of 1988, Jesus was going to return and that the faithful would be caught up in the rapture. Didn't happen. He came back a couple of months later. He says, "Whoop! I made a little mistake. It's next year, 15th to the 18th of September." Came and went, and he disappeared. you know, he was wrong twice. And I thought, you know, why are people wanting to find these escape routes? That was the only thing I could think of is, why is it necessary for you to know the day, the time that you're going to leave this world? I loved what someone said to me many years ago about our lives as individuals, that when we before we come into this world, we are given a round-trip ticket, okay? And the departure date is stamped on there. But the return date is not, or at least it's not visible to us. But it is a round-trip ticket.
Yeah.
So we will come into this world, and then we will depart. And quite honestly, you get done what you can get done while you are here, not being concerned about how long it's going to take or when your ticket is punched and all those kinds of things. Ergo, I think the beautiful thing in one sense is sort of a bucket list. I never thought I would be a part of one. I do not have one, folks. I do not have a bucket list. My wife does, and we were able to fulfill one of hers last December when we went up to Yosemite to the Bracebridge dinner, which was quite spectacular. But I find it interesting. You make an interesting statement in your book in terms of the fact that we have a mission, each one of us, and that our mission, should you choose to accept it, and if you want to know about that reference, Google Mission Impossible. You'll be happy, you will also be healthy, and you'll be prosperous all your life. Is the converse necessarily true, Nancy, that if I'm not happy or healthy or prosperous, I am not living my purpose in spite of the fact that I feel like I really feel like I am, Nancy, but I don't have the money, the health, or the exuberance, but I'm still forging ahead?
Yeah, I would say that, yes. If you're unhappy, if you're dissatisfied with your life, you're not living your purpose, you're not being true to yourself. Mm-hmm. You're not in alignment with your life's purpose. Now, your life's purpose is to, as you say, as I say in my book, is to be happy. By that I mean that you feel contented with who you are. You feel pretty confident. You feel confident in almost every situation. You feel like you're in the niche you're supposed to be in. And you feel comfortable where you are. And you're curious. And sometimes it feels like a passion. A lot of people are just passionate about things. Mm-hmm. Other people, their passion kind of is insatiable curiosity. It could be very quiet. It doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to be up on a dais with a microphone exhorting the world to do something. Mm-hmm. That might be part of your passion, it might not. But your passion is to be satisfied with your life. And if you're not satisfied with your life, then what you can do is do your numbers and see where you've been forgetting about yourself, neglecting yourself, what your lessons are in that particular area. Like if you feel like you don't have enough money, or you really don't have enough money and you're trying to make ends meet and you don't know what to do, there's a lesson in there for you. And I know that sounds really stupid to a lot of people. And like a cop out, but it really isn't, because I've been in that situation myself. Mm-hmm. And once I decided to look at that and really deal with it, then my financial situation started to change. Mm-hmm. And so because my inner self started to align with my true interest, my true direction in life. And so, see, when you come to this earth, you come with an instruction book. You don't come here, you just don't pop up here for no reason. We are not blank slates when we're born. We are born with amazing amount of wisdom and completely equipped for the life that we have chosen before we got here. We devised the plan with our guardian angels before we were even born. And so when you know, like you were saying, there's some areas in your life you're not really happy with. Well, maybe it's a good idea to look at that and see what you can do to learn from it and transform it into something that you like better, something that you're more comfortable with. Living your purpose is about being comfortable with your life. So, and your purpose, it doesn't matter what you do for your profession. It's not necessarily your profession. You know, like for instance, I'll use myself as an example. My interests are not the interests of very many other people. I mean, I'm interested in what happens to us when we die. Where did we come from? Where are we going? What are we doing here?
I'm with
most
you there.
Yeah. So I've been pursuing that for years and years and years, okay? And so when I'm pursuing that, I am happy. I'm really happy. I feel great. I feel like I've accomplished something when I've written or found answers to questions that I have. I, for years, toured the country giving lectures about this kind of thing and workshops and in my counseling practice. And as when I was doing that, I was so happy, so happy. Other areas of my life, you know, weren't that great, but I dealt with them. So I retired. And my kind of interests weren't in the mainstream of how people earn money, okay? So I had jobs on the side to support myself, to support my habit, which was exploring these questions and finding answers and sharing with them. So my counseling practice was more of a part-time thing than a full-time thing because I wasn't able to support myself on the money that came in with my counseling practice. So in my life, my purpose wasn't my necessarily my profession. So that's how it is for a lot of people. Your life purpose is very important. It's very profound. And it's the most important thing that you can do for yourself is to live your purpose. But it isn't something that has a lot of rules and you have to do it right. And if you don't do it right, you miss the boat. It's not that. It's not about that. A lot of times when people think about their life purpose, they go, oh, my gosh, what does it mean?
Yeah.
What do I have to do? Yeah. What are the rules? And they get all stressed out thinking about it, and they don't even want to face it. But it's not about that. It's about being who we are. And one very important thing that I've found out is there's nothing wrong with us. We might, you know, we all have lessons to learn. We all have areas in our life where we feel like we have no control over. We don't know what to do about it. But that doesn't make it wrong. It's not wrong. It's an area, if we learn to change our perception of that and look at it as something that we can learn from and actually master, actually transform it so that now we're more comfortable, now things are more satisfactory, we have better relationships, whatever it is we feel like we're missing out on. You know, we all know people who have tremendous wealth, and you can read about them, and you can see them on TV, whatever. And you read about their personal lives, they're in chaos. You know, is that a successful person? Is that a satisfied person? Is that a person who's comfortable with their life? I don't think so. So for true success, and success is a tricky word, and I realized that when I titled my book, because people, some people look at the word success and they go, oh my gosh, I can never be successful. I'm not going to read that book. It'll just make me feel,
it'll bring me down.
It'll bring me down. It'll stress me out, and I don't even want to think about it. But success is being comfortable with who you are. That's all it is. And that's what your purpose is. And you know, the other thing that I really feel strongly about and I write about in the book, is you don't have to be a movie star. You don't have to be the president of the United States or whatever to be a successful person. Just be yourself. We are all like little radios. We're constantly beaming out every thought that we have, beams out into the universe. And when we think of somebody that we love, they, most of the time subconsciously, pick it up, and it feeds them, it supports them, it strengthens them. But they don't even know you've been thinking about them. You see what I'm saying? So just by being here, we are very important to everyone else on Earth, because we're all one. That's a big statement. A lot of people, it's hard to relate to. But that's the way I relate to it. Just by being here, you're an important person. It doesn't matter what you do for a living. It doesn't matter whether you can earn money from your passion, your insatiable curiosity, your fantastically wonderful interest. Just make room in your life for it. Just make time for it every day if you can, because that's what makes your day a good day.
There is a book I'm going to complete in 2017. I've been working on it for 16 years. And finally, the 1st of January, I said, there are four things I'm going to do this year, and that is one of them. And in the book, it talks about choices. And you're really laying that foundation, because the reality is that we always have choices, no matter what our circumstances might be. And I even go as far as saying even someone who's sitting in a nursing home somewhere has choices, can still choose maybe to engage in and get involved in their own imagination and just, you know, to take up time or whatever the case might be. But we all have choices. And just because you are where you are right now, that doesn't mean you're going to stay there, but that's entirely up to you. Now, well, I want to ask you a quick question here, and you're certainly free to say no to this question, because I didn't ask you about this before we started. How easy is it for you to, how can I put this, run the numbers on someone, as it were, i.e., helping them to find out what their purpose is if they're not really sure what it is, utilizing numerology? What would you need from them in order to do this? And what kind of time frame are we talking about?
Well, you know, that's really interesting, because that was my next thing I wanted to talk about. So I guess we're in tune, Richard.
Just a little bit. I'm just fine-tuning my little radio here, my tuner.
Okay, well, yeah, I do it all the time. I need a person's full name at birth on the birth certificate, even if it's misspelled, and the birth date, and that's it. And then I do a chart. I don't use algorithms. I use arithmetic.
Okay.
Because algorithms miss things. So I do the arithmetic. And then I create a report, and I interpret every single number. I make a chart. It's called the Chaldean Soul Chart. And I interpret every number on that chart in the report. And then we get together and talk about it. And I interpret it again, and I answer all the questions that they have. So let's see. From the arithmetic for the chart through the reports, about 3 hours.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Nothing that we would be able to do anything with on this program at this time.
Well, it would take we'd have some dead air.
Not if I can help it.
So it is one of those things where, there'd be anywhere from a few seconds to a few minutes of dead air. If you were to ask me, you know, about your birth date or your birth name. So we could do it.
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I have just sent you the information I believe that you've asked for. And you take your time and do what you need to do, because I can certainly fill the spaces if necessary. And if it takes longer than that, then you know what? We'll just continue our conversation. But it's entirely up to you. I'm not going to put any pressure on you in that regard. But what I want to let you let our listeners know is that you are online. You are available on the internet. You have a website. And I think that what I need, there it is. Am I correct that it is youwereborn thatway.com? That is the website I've got right here.
Right. It's my blog.
That is your blog. Is there a better or another website where people can get in touch with you?
I have. That's it. That's my website
there. Oh, excellent. YouWereBornThatWay.com. All one word, folks. That's a matter of fact, you know, I used to write that way in school. Everything ran together. So I was priming for the internet and all of that. Didn't even know it, I'll tell you. I find it rather exciting as we go through our day, our program here, that there are so many different modalities to find out who and what we are. I remember hearing one of my guests say that, because I kind of put this out there, I said, so you're telling us as far as our own evolution that one day we're actually going to be able to know who we really are? And they said, no. One day in our evolution, you're actually going to be able to know who you have always been. And interestingly enough, that there is a difference, and he was rather clear on the distinction, because in the combination of the interviews that I've done, I've also got in touch with people, and we're talking now, of course, about life between lives, and what goes on after you leave this realm before you re-enter it or some other. In terms of having a little downtime, you're still studying, you're still learning, you're still growing, you're still experiencing. Even there, you're associated with the same, I'm going to say, entities that you are in the human existence in this realm. Though not all of them, you're real close to, but you associate with the same group, same as they call them, clusters, which I think is real interesting. And they're all there to support and encourage. I mean, they say too that, you'll go back and you'll see your parents, your brothers and sisters, your relatives and friends and all those kinds of things. And there are classes, there are refreshers, there's a time when you start working on that new contract for the new life. And there are even people that don't want to come back. Mm-hmm. And they're encouraged to because you kind of put this in this context. They're encouraged to come back because they're important to the grand scheme of things. And one of my guests, I think you'll probably agree with what this guest said. Everyone who is here in this time is a hero because of this time in which we live. Because of the challenges that we face. And it seems to me that what you're offering people through this aspect of numerology, and we're going to get into some other aspects of it here in just a moment, because I'd like to get some clarification. But it's just really important. I mean, many of the programs that we have on, and the reason I did the program on Life Between Lives from the Newton Institute, beg your pardon, is because the more we know about who and what we are, where we come from, where we're going, the better we can, I guess the best way to put it is, function in this lifetime, be more effective with, as I think is said in your book, the tools, the gifts, if you will, that we've been given from the very beginning to do the things that we're here to do in this lifetime. So is that me? Is that and I think that that's I think it's so important. I really do.
Exactly. Because it's like going down a familiar road. You've never been there before, but you sort of know it's a beautifully smooth road. It has beautiful scenery on each side of it. The air is just right. The temperature is just right. And you know that as you go down this road, you're going to find adventures. And it's going to be very interesting for you. And you're just going to love it. Some of it you're not going to love. You're going to hate it.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll be able to navigate through it and come out on the other side wiser, smarter, and happier.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And the other thing is, if it's nothing more, if you do your numbers for nothing more than stress relief. I mean, it's when you sit down, because in my book, I show you how to do your numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And you sit down and you do your numbers and you go, oh my gosh, no wonder I did that or did that in my, you know, youth or whatever it was. Or look what I have to look forward to, because when you do your numbers, you get to see your past, your present, and your future. And you get to understand your journey in life. And then your core numbers represent your values and standards and your skills and your gifts and your strong points.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to rediscover that. You've always known it, but like you said, some people don't even know their purpose, and they don't even know they have a purpose. So what I found in numerology is it's right there in black and white on the paper.
Yeah.
When you do your numbers, and it will be familiar to you when you see it.
Mm-hmm.
When you see it. And then your challenges are there too. You get to figure out what your challenges are, and you see what's been tripping you up every time you get tripped up. It's right there. It's plain.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to see. And then you go, no wonder I feel this way or do that. And that's where the stress relief comes in, because then you see how you can overcome that or master it.
Mm.
And also, a lot of people think, oh, I'm wrong. I'm wrong about that. I shouldn't even think about it. And they neglect their gifts because someone told them, well, you can't make money doing that, so you have to do this. So they go and do that. And they're making a lot of money, or maybe they're not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's stressful. They don't like it, and they don't know what else to do.
Well, I'll share this with you, and I was in a position nearly 11 years ago when my wife and I moved to Santa Barbara. I went to work for a company, and I was there for, I think, about, I'm going to say 8 or 9 months. I think I started in June or July of 2016 and 06. And 2007, I moved on to another job. But it was a job that was, in essence, direct sales, not cold calling. The calls actually came in,
mm-hmm.
and we would field them and so forth. And here's the interesting irony. Now, when I told my father, who told me years ago, find a job you love doing because you're going to be doing it for a long time. Don't get stuck like me. Well, now, he didn't stay stuck, just to let folks know. He actually, in the 70s, went back to community college, got into computer programming. God, I remember the fanfold paper and the punch cards.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to go into an area that he really enjoyed beyond printing checks. Legally. And I was working this job. And they had this sort of this fishbowl of sorts. It was a large room with glass all around, and it was raised up 2 steps, and you'd go in there, and it had the same basic booths, but much nicer. And in that room, if you were able to get your sales up to a certain level, you could spend the week in that room. If you kept your sales up in there, you stayed in there for the next week and so forth. This was a bonus. It was very nice. My father told me, in addition to finding a job that you love to do, when he found out about this job, he says, well, you'll do fine. You could sell ice cubes to Eskimos. Which I thought, well, I really don't want to.
Yeah.
Here's the irony. I spent the last 3 weeks of my time at that company in that fishbowl and hated that job. I was so good at it, but I hated that job. Mm-hmm. To me, that is a disconnect from purpose. Yeah, I was making pretty good money, but to what end? What was the point? Well, the career or vocation that I seem to have found myself in as of August of 1979, I haven't made a whole lot of money, but man, I have had a blast. I have met some incredible people. I've had some unbelievable experiences. And prosperity and abundance pops up at every turn. Matter of fact, I did some checking on this. I was given a sound booth that I have in my studio now.
Wow.
They run about $2,500. I don't have $2,500 for this, but they were upgrading in this one facility to a new system and needed to just get rid of it. And they just happened to call the station. I just happened to pick it up. And when they said sound booth free, giving it away, I said, sure, let me figure out the logistics. And, you know, to me, that's incredible. And it kind of tells me, okay, what's this all about? What's this sound booth? What part is this playing? You know what? I don't care. Not at this point. I just need to get it installed and I need to get it set up and ready to go because I also do the recording of audiobooks. And maybe that's where this is headed. I mean, that would be wonderful. You know, it'd be very exciting. Matter of fact, maybe one of these days you and I might be chatting via Skype, but I'll be in my soundproof booth chatting away instead of at the radio station recording in that regard. Before we go, I want to remind our listeners that you can go to Nancy's website, and it is youwereborntatway.com. You Were Born That Way. We encourage you to check that website out. It's her blog. And You Were Born to Succeed, Finding Your Purpose Through Numerology. Nancy Fairbrother is my guest, and we're going to continue here on our program. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. And we ask you to stay with us because as the numbers go, we still have more time. And so we want you to come back. Don't go away.
Tell me your story.
And welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're talking with Nancy Fairbrother, and she is the author of, I think, an interesting book for you to get a hold of. And it's You Were Born to Succeed, Finding Your Purpose Through Numerology. Nancy, thank you so much for staying with us here on the program. I am, again, just so intrigued by the prospect of better understanding who I am as an individual, who we are as a people, as well as a society. There are times when there are certain events that happen in our world that just, they flip that, they turn the emotion knob up to full and beyond. And I sometimes look at that going, why did this event happen now? You know? What is it that's going on that this particular event took place? And not that I'm necessarily a conspiracy theorist, mind you, but a lot of times certain events will be orchestrated to distract us, to deflect our attention away from something, things that are actually really very important we need to be aware of. But when I say that, I think that they are to distract us from being aware of, for example, our life's purpose, why we're here, the people in our direct community, family, friends, husbands, wives, children, etc., co-workers, to distract us from. And in some instances, some events happen actually to divide us, as we've seen in the last few years in this country in particular. But, of course, this has been going on around the world for centuries, certainly. And, you know, you've heard this, the state, you know, a house divided will not stand. you know, and of course, divide and conquer. And it works. Divide the people and you can conquer them. And it's been done many, many times. But if we turn that emotional knob back down to 3 or 2 or 1, if we can, because we know who we are and we know why we're here, hey, maybe we can get back on track. Because I don't know about you, Nancy. I've been here a scant 57 years. Just a puff of smoke, if that, in the grand scheme of things. And yet, in my short time here, and then even observing back maybe an equal amount of time, the race of man doesn't seem like it's progressed one little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's gotten so distracted away from.
Well, you know, that's very interesting. And here's what I've come to believe. To simplify the whole thing, if we pay more attention to who we are, if we look inside ourselves and keep our own house clean and straightened up the way we want it, that means our spiritual awareness, our spiritual self, then the rest of the world automatically changes for the better, automatically, because energy is energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always moving and it's always there. So here's the thing of it. We are distracted by what's happening outside ourselves, with our political process, with all the wars that are going on and everything else. And then we get fixated on outside ourselves, and it's a mistake. It's a misunderstanding. What we need to do is focus on ourselves. In other words, if you just take a little bit of time for yourself to figure out, I'll be very obvious about something very obvious about your job. If you don't like your job, what is it that you like about it? Make a little list. What do you like about it? And just blow off steam about what you don't like about it. And then start working on, do you need another job? Or can you make this one work for you? Or can you just, is whatever your passion or your curiosity is, can it be something, is it best that it's something on the side? Do you want to start your own business? I mean, if you just start that, just start thinking about what you want. And I don't mean in a selfish way. I don't mean to the exclusion of everyone else, because everyone else should be doing that too.
Mm-hmm.
What they want.
You know, in 2008-09, when people were losing their jobs left and right, you know, the first thought that went through my mind was,
what?
And if someone said, oh, that's easy for you to say because you have a job, was, I wonder how many of those thousands of people hated their jobs.
Right. Probably most of them.
Yeah.
See, it's the system that we have created that, and I don't want to go into a whole bunch of details or take too much time, but I mean, we've created this system that doesn't include our soul, that doesn't include the spirit. I don't mean religion.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean is our soul, our true self, that doesn't include the message that we left for ourselves here on earth in the letters of our name and our date of birth. It doesn't include that.
Mm-hmm.
If our interests match what's needed out there in the world that we've created, hey, we've got it made. But if they don't, then we're kind of left out, unless we make time for that particular thing in our lives for ourselves and let it automatically grow for us. If you're interested in like scrimshaw, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many stores do you see you can buy scrimshaw in?
Mm-hmm.
You can't. It isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the thing that drives you and you love it. So
yeah.
Do it after work. Do it on the weekends. And who knows what it could lead to? You understand what I'm trying to say here?
Oh, yeah.
It's just a little example of how we can start to move into alignment with our soul's wisdom. Now, that's soul wisdom. That's not just insignificant interest that won't lead to anything productive in the world. A lot of people get that message. I'm one of them. That my interest would never lead to anything productive in the world, so I better just do something else. So, and plus the fact I wasn't born with the ability to organize myself and my thoughts into something material, a material business. I wasn't born with that skill. Mm-hmm. So I've had quite a challenge with that. But yeah. But what I didn't know was all I had to do was just keep at it. Just keep at it and make time for it and go to work and do the best job that I can, try to emphasize the parts of my job that I really like. And if I couldn't find anything, go look for another one, but not quit my old one. You know what I mean? So,
right.
It's like learning to use the system that we have created for our fulfillment. Mm-hmm. Learning to use that system for our fulfillment. In other words, I learned to use it just to keep the food on the table. Mm-hmm. And that's all I wanted from it. But I had my own passions, like writing this book, like having my counseling practice, like teaching my classes, like giving my lectures, that kind of thing. I did on the side. That fed me spiritually. So what we need to learn to do is feed ourselves spiritually. And so this numerology is an ancient science, and it's an ancient science, not an ancient silly hobby. It's a science. It's mm-hmm. been with us for how many thousands of years?
Yeah.
Since the beginning of civilization.
Yeah.
It's a viable tool to use. I used it as an assessment tool in my counseling practice. And so by the time I worked with my clients, I knew exactly what their main concern was. And of course, they expressed it, but I mean, it helped focus in on what the main concern was in that person's life. And then with the soul-centered processes that I used in my practice, both in psychology and metaphysics, we were able to help. I was able to help them resolve their problems, their challenges. So that they were not living to cope with these things. They resolved them. They were gone. They were more aligned with who their true self is. So, and that was my goal. But in the world of psychology, the way it is, even still now, although it's moving a little towards more spirituality, I could not be a part of that world. Mm. I had to be independent, because if I had decided to join the brotherhood of psychotherapists, psychiatrists and psychologists, I would have been limited in how I could deal with my clients. Mm-hmm. So I chose to be independent so that I wouldn't be limited by the standards and the beliefs and the belief system that psychology has right now, that conventional psychology has right now.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Now, I'm going to ask you at this particular point in our program, if you've had an opportunity, though we've been chatting here and so forth, to put anything together in regards to the information that I sent you. And if not, that's fine. I got plenty to ask. I got many, many questions for you.
I haven't received the email.
Well, actually, it's not an email. I sent it to you through the Skype instant messaging. It's that little balloon up there, and that's okay.
Wait a minute. Here.
All right. And as you're perusing that, I want to remind our listeners about who we're talking with. We are talking with Nancy Fairbrother. She has a book called You Were Born to Succeed, Finding Your Purpose Through Numerology. It's funny, too, that even when I was working for the Christian radio station, and I constantly bring that up on this program just because it was such a significant 15 years of my life, I was hearing about sacred geometry even then. Not so much numerology, but I thought, this is interesting. Why? Because to me, sacred geometry was more of a metaphysical construct or philosophy, if you will, or science. I don't know exactly what it is per se. I need to do some programs on that as well. But I just thought it was really, really interesting. And of course, I've always been into shapes. And when I do any kind of drawing, especially abstract, initially what I do is, and of course, I know many folks have seen fractals, which are fascinating. I love looking at fractals. But I would take a large sheet of paper. I have one of these big drawing books, and I would take a large sheet of paper, and I would draw a shape, an outline of a shape, whether it was circular, a curved, or if it was a bunch of lines that were straight lines that were connected, and then I would change direction and so forth. Then I would go on the inside of that, the circumference, and I would draw lines from one side to the other and just crisscrossing and making different shapes. Then I would take, after I have that all laid out, I would take colored pencils, and I would start coloring in each of the spaces that had lines, never having the same color or even shade next to the same color or shade spacing. And then I would just spend my time just laying that out, and very abstract. Yet, it was very geometrical in the sense that there were mostly triangles, you know, sometimes four-sided. I don't know if that's referred to as isosceles or what the terminology is. I remember very little of my geometry from high school. I didn't do so well in there. Algebra was my strong suit. So strong, Nancy, that I was so far ahead in the workbook, my instructor said, to my chagrin, you know, as long as you keep doing the homework, you don't need to come to class. You know, just keep turning in the homework. And that was not too smart, because after a few weeks, I stopped doing the homework. But I loved algebra because of, you know, I don't remember a lot of it these days, but I loved the variables. Mm-hmm. You know, in terms of determining, okay, well, what is A and what is B times C minus D divided by E? Well, okay, well, what if A is this and B is this? And I haven't yet figured out exactly. I enjoyed it. It wasn't one of those, what am I going to use? Where am I going to use this in my life? If I'm a banker, I don't think you use these kinds of variables. It has to be facts, very specific. Mm-hmm. But it was a lot of fun. I mean, it challenged my brain. I used to play chess with my dad all the time because it was a challenge to the brain. Mm-hmm. You know, it stimulated something in my mind, in my head. And I just thought that, you know, that was really very, very cool.
Well, you know, numbers are energy. Numbers represent energy and sacred geometry. When they, back in the day, in the Greeks and Romans and beyond back there, they used to build buildings according to certain proportions and dimensions, and that would set up an energy pattern. And that's what sacred geometry is about.
Yeah.
And that's what numbers are about. Numbers set up energy patterns, and that's what numerology is about. It tells you a lot about your own personal energy pattern and what you're doing here and what's going to fulfill you. And it's easy. It's an addition and subtraction. Now, unlike you, I am not a mathematician.
I'm not a mathematician either. I just like.
I know you like to fool around with that. I don't know how I passed algebra, but I did. I never would even go near geometry in school, but I can add and I can subtract, and that's powerful because I can do numerology.
And I also see numbers as colors.
Now that's, yeah, and they do.
And
I've never seen them as colors, but colors are energy too. So yeah. Everything has its has its color if you can see it. It's like people being able to see auras and different colors in your aura.
Exactly, yeah.
Is that how you see colors with numbers, or you just match up the right color with the right number?
No. I have seen ever since I can remember each number of the 10 digits we use, 1 through 9 plus the 0. Each one of them has a different color slash hue. Then when you start putting them together in combinations, that number or, and letters are the same way. I see letters as different colors and slash hues. So when you start putting them together, for example, with January, the word January, the month, has a particular hue to it, as does February and March, based upon the combination of the colors of the letters that make up that that particular word. And that sort of takes me to the construct, as I've talked before, especially about a lot of the ancient wisdom teachings that were not written in English. And I think in particular of Hebrew, because I have a set of cards at home of the alphabet, the Hebrew alphabet. And each card has the Hebrew letter and what it corresponds to in English, and what its number significance is. And it's not, for example, A is 1 in the English language and Z is 26. It goes 1 through, I think, 19. Then it goes to 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 200, 300, you know, until you get through all 22 letters. But it also has a corresponding tonal vibration. And has its own each letter has its own legend. So then when you start combining the letters into words, it gets a whole, it gets its own vibration. Words into sentences, whole vibration, and on and on. Numbers do the same thing, right? In a manner of speaking. Yeah.
So see, everything is vibration. We are vibration. We are a soul with a physical body, not a body with a soul. We are vibrational beings. And that's why we're so powerful. And that's why we can use our minds to change our lives. And that's why we have this information in our names and birth dates to help us to transform our lives into something fulfilling for us.
Now, I know that my my Vedic astrology friend, he is challenged by my question, especially when we start talking about the foundation of countries, nations, and so forth, and especially the United States. I mean, do you use July 4th, 1776, or do you use other dates when certain documents were finally signed, or when it was ratified, or And whereas with a human being, you have a well-defined date and time of birth. I have always liked, as I said earlier, I've always liked my birth date, not only because of the year, because it was divisible by 10, and so it was very easy to remember how old I was as a kid growing up, you know, if somebody asked me. Okay, 60 to 7, that's 10. I'm 10. But it was the sequence. If I didn't use the 19, I had 3 sixes, which, you know, is or isn't auspicious. There was a certain flow to it. It has its own hue, too, by the way. I mean, the sequence has its own color hue to it, which I like. It's a nice, it's a cool, almost calming type of hue as far as that's concerned. If a person, have you ever come across anybody that you're doing this work for, and I don't know if this ever would come up in conversation, who doesn't like their birth date?
No, I've never asked anybody whether they do or not like it. I've never even discussed, no one has ever mentioned to me whether or not they like their birth date. I guess it seems like,
you know, what are you going to do? You know, I don't like it, so I'm going to change it.
I've come across people who don't like their names.
Yeah. By the way, you know, you can use numerology in many different ways, not just the birth of a human being, but you could also use this in the context of, say, assessing maybe someone's business or relationship, the start of a relationship as far as a date, you know, and the names of the individuals involved. Is that something that is doable with numerology?
Oh, sure. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. The date you start your business, the name of your business. And it's good if you want to be in business for yourself, it's good to have your business name and date in harmony with your personal name and date.
Okay. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you name your business after your name. We're talking something wholly different here, right?
Yes. You don't have to name it after yourself.
Have you?
And
assist-
it doesn't have to exactly match either.
Okay. Have you assisted people in coming up with the right numerologically in sync name for their business?
I have, yes. Not very often, because there aren't very many entrepreneurs who are interested in numerology yet.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I have. And I've also assisted people to, I've had clients that don't like their name.
Mm-hmm.
And they've changed their name
based upon their numerology.
No, not their numerology. They didn't know about numerology.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Then I did their chart. Well, one of them adopted a name that was completely in alignment with her numerology chart.
Oh, I see.
It was just automatic for her. So she was really in tune with her spirit.
You just opened up Pandora's box for me. Intuition,
exactly.
The role of intuition when it comes to numerology.
Well, intuition when it comes to numerology is this. It's after you've done your chart and you look at it and you say, my gosh, that's me. That's your intuition.
Mm-hmm.
You can't prove any of it, but your heart, your soul tells you, wait a minute, that's me.
Yeah.
That's me.
Hmm. Interesting.
So, as far as intuition is concerned, it's part of our lives too. And that's how I started out learning about what makes people tick and what are we doing here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've spent many years developing my own intuition, helping other people develop their intuition, and how to use it in practical ways in everyday life. And that's my aim in numerology, is to use it in a practical way, apply it to your life. It's there for us to use. It's like anything we learn. It's like how to add and subtract. It's as simple as that, and it's more powerful than that, unless you are a scientist or a physicist or something like that. It tells you who you are. It reconfirms, because you already know that.
Mm-hmm.
We already know who we are. However, we've been taught not to listen to who we are, not to listen to our intuition, that voice within us, that mm-hmm. feeling that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We're taught to conform to whatever rules and regulations we're brought up with, and whatever society imposes upon us. We're not taught to be individuals within our society. We're not taught to express our individuality. But I'm all about individuality. I have a mm-hmm. lot of ones in my chart. And that's all I can do. That's all I know how to do.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because there are a lot of people who are looking for their individual style, especially in terms of the way that they look, okay?
Yep.
And what is unfortunate in one sense is that in our society in particular, when you find that style, other people start, and it's unique, it's uniquely you. And maybe you actually did come up with that style first. Then other people start seeing it, and then they start doing it. And it's like, well, now it's not unique anymore. But if you have chosen it and that works for you, then don't abandon it, because the other people will, because they'll find out, oh, that's not for me. This isn't my style, because they're still looking. It's interesting, because when I was growing up in my teens and 20s, especially after I got out of high school, I wore a lot of brown. I mean, just unbelievable amounts of brown. Never wore a hat, okay? I actually eventually had rather long hair. Actually had a ponytail at one point. Bicycled everywhere. I started wearing headbands along with the ponytail. And then in 2001, shaved my head and realized that I was going to need to start wearing a hat just for protection. And I came across a particular style. It's called the Bozeman hat. And it makes me look awfully Western, but I don't wear browns anymore. You know, if I don't even know if I have, I do have a few brown shirts or brown hue, but I like the brighter colors, you know, the turquoise and the even white and so forth. And usually jeans. I mean, I look very Western here in Santa Barbara, but it feels right. I don't know why. I mean, I could trace it back to my mother's side of the family, you know, and her side of the family is very much into the rodeos back in Arizona and this and that and the other. All I know is that it just fits and it works for me. And if somebody wants to emulate it, hey, it's not copyrighted or trademarked. You can do and be who and whatever you want. All I know is that it fits for me, and I'm going to continue doing it until there comes a day when I say, you know, I'm going to change this. And so I think that what's fascinating about all of this is that there is so much we can learn. As I've stated and you've stated earlier, knowing self is so vitally important, and this is just one of many modalities that we can utilize to do that.
Before
we move forward here, because we are running close to the end of the program, but I'm going to ask if you have had any opportunity of putting anything together. If not, I've got something I wanted to ask you.
Well, yes, I have actually. I have your purpose number and your direction number.
Okay.
And just to tell the audience. That's the first two numbers on your chart. There are the two numbers of your core numbers. You have five core numbers. So we're just getting into the first two in Richard's chart here.
Okay.
And your purpose is a three. And a three is about communication, self-expression, talking, entertaining.
I could never do any of that.
No. No, so, I mean, you're a talker. You love to talk. You love words. You're good with words. Like your father said, you could sell ice cubes to Eskimos, but that's not the way you chose to express your purpose. Now, your direction number is how you express your purpose, and that's a master number. It's a 22, which is a double four. And the 22 is about taking inspiration and making it real in the physical world. In other words, making dreams come true. You're a master builder. So the things you want to talk about are not about selling people products. They are about the good for all. You are focused on bringing forward the good in this world for everyone. And so you have a perfect, what's the word I want? You have a perfect platform for that, and that's radio, media. You're a diplomat, a super, super diplomat, because the 22 obviously is two twos. Two is about empathy and connection and diplomacy. And also about intuition, a lot of intuition. So in specifically knowing how other people feel, picking up how other people feel. So you could be a master communicator. And so automatically you have followed your purpose, at least the first two numbers in it. You see what I'm saying? You're one of those people who just kept following your purpose. Now, there are lots of people out there who don't know their purpose. They don't know how to, they don't even know they have one, as I said before. Or they may be following certain things, but not have enough self-confidence to really pursue them. And so numerology can work for them as well, because it can help people who are undecided about their purpose or don't have enough confidence to even examine what their purpose might be, to get it down on paper and say, that's me, and have the courage to go ahead and start living that purpose. So can you, pretty well describes what you're doing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It does indeed. It does indeed.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
How did you get involved with numerology? Obviously, a long time ago, and you say you didn't do real well in math, but that's doing equations, whereas I don't see numerology as the same kind of just doing equations.
No, it's addition and subtraction. If you can add and subtract, you can do numerology.
And how did you... Well, how did you find out about this or become so interested in it that you made it your life's work?
Well, when I was a teenager, I got interested in psychic stuff, psychic development, and that was in the 50s. And it was a taboo subject back then.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I used to, one of my girlfriends a few years ago reminded me, I used to get them together and we would have seances. I had forgotten all about that. I would get people together and we'd have seances, but we never were able to raise a table or anything like that. But so anyway, as the years went by, I read every book I could. I read about Edgar Cayce, the famous trans channel.
Oh, yeah.
And other people, the Betty book, how she worked with her guardian angels. I read everything I could find out was psychic. Now, the thing about the psychic was, the psychic interest for me was, I wanted to be psychic. I wanted to learn how to use it in my life for practical things. I didn't want any of the sensationalism that was attached to it back then and still is. And I learned everybody's psychic. And if you're interested, you can now, there are books out there that you can get and learn how to be psychic from those books. One good book that I know about is a book called You Are Psychic by Pete J. Sanders Jr. And that's a good one. There's Opening to Channel is another one. There's all kinds of books now. But back then when I was interested, there weren't. But anyway, numerology was one of the things that I experimented with. I experimented with palmistry. I put ink on all my friends' hands and made them give me handprints so that I could learn how to interpret. I experimented with astrology, but I couldn't do the math, so I said the heck with that. And then I got into numerology, but it didn't seem right for me. And it was Pythagorean. I didn't know about Chaldean back then. So I kind of let that go. And then I learned how to be psychic at this school that taught people, it still does, teaches people how to use their psychic ability in everyday life. And then I discovered Chaldean numerology, and I said, that's it. I did my chart, and I said, my gosh, that's my purpose. That tells me about my whole life. And so I designed it so that other people, you know, when I did other people's charts, we could say, this is your purpose in life. And every one of them confirmed it, everyone. When I first started out, I did charts for people I didn't know and people I did know, both Pythagoras and with the Chaldean. And I asked them, which one is the one that that you identify with the most? And they all said Chaldean.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's how I did it.
Well, I'm glad you did, because it's going to help. I think it's going to help a lot of people to better understand where they are in their lives and where they're going as well. You were born to succeed, finding your purpose through numerology. Nancy Fairbrother is my guest. Before we let you go, first of all, I've thoroughly enjoyed this interview, and I would love to invite you, should you find yourself in the Santa Barbara area, we'd love to have you in studio to continue this conversation.
Oh, thank you. I'd love that.
And then, as I'm sure you have probably heard on some of the programs, I have three questions that I ask my guests before we wrap up the broadcast. And you've probably addressed them to some degree throughout the program, but I'm going to ask them directly. And the first one is, who is Nancy Fairbrother?
Well, I'm a soul with a body, not a body with a soul. I'm here with a purpose. I'm a spiritual explorer. That's me, an explorer of the spirit. And and insatiably curious about life.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
My hope and intention is to be able to get the message across to everyone that you are a sovereign soul with unlimited depths of wisdom, and that you have the power to create the life you've always wanted. You are powerful. And no matter where you are right now, if you're at the bottom of the barrel, you can come up out of that barrel just by changing your perception and by understanding that you are magnificence itself.
And finally, to your book, what is your life's purpose?
My life purpose is to... is a three, just like yours, to share with words inspiration, to inspire people to be who they are, to be... my focus is on the individual. Other people's focus is on the world at large. Mine's on the individual, and mine is to help myself and every individual that I can to know how powerful and how magnificent they are, so that they can create a life that they love. That's my purpose. It's right there in my numbers.
It sounds to me like you are going to assist us in taking our lives from mere survival to thriving. And that's what we here on the program are really working towards, getting people to stop their survival mode and get into their thrival mode. I don't know. That's not even a word. I just made it up. But I'm very excited about all of this because, as I said before, the more we know about ourselves, and as you say in your book, the more we are going to be able to better understand who we are, why we're here, and you say, our life's purpose. You Were Born That Way.com is her website. You Were Born to Succeed is the title of the book, Finding Your Purpose Through Numerology. Nancy Fairbrother, again, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Oh, thank you, Richard. It was a joy.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Please check out youwereborntatway.com and You Were Born to Succeed by Nancy Fairbrother. I'm Richard Dugan, and until next time, love to Lal.